Hey everybody, this is Stelly FT.
And this is Heaton Shaw, and today on the Startup Chat, we're going to talk about ideas, side projects, maybe even businesses.
I think we like talking about more than just sales and marketing.
We just want to bullshit and chat about business and life, and hopefully while we're doing that, provide a lot of value to people.
The world's best business podcast.
Oh, shit, we got it!
For people trying to get shit done.
Yeah. We don't want to give you feedback that's bullshit.
Yeah, we want you to do your best.
To some extent, depending on what we get into, going back and forth on ones that failed. So I'm going to talk about one of my failed ones, which I think we experienced and talked about a little bit on the show, which was I tried to make some shirts, and I tried to sell them.
Yeah.
And I messed up big time. and it was about unicorns and something about unicorns dying. And somewhere in my closet, I have a pile of those shirts somewhere, or some box somewhere in the garage. I don't remember. And it had a unicorn and a sad unicorn, and it said something like unicorns die too or something like that. And first of all, my grammar on the copy of the shirt was way off. Second of all, nobody wants those kind of shirts. I think it's because they're very negative, not positive. And I don't even know why I did it. I think I just wanted to try something completely different. And it failed. I still have the shirts, so it obviously failed. I was trying to sell them.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember you with the shirt on my balcony recording a Startup Chat episode. Dope. And yeah, the reason why we wanted to do this episode is just, you know, again, a lot of times you see people that seem successful and are running companies that work well, but that doesn't mean that they didn't have a lot of failure. And it doesn't mean that just because you've had success in the past, every project and every company you work on or every idea, it's going to succeed in the future. That's not how it works. Right. So just shedding a light on that. All right. So I'm going to start with the smaller, more ridiculous ideas, and then maybe we'll work up to some more side projects or real startup things that I worked on that failed. But something ridiculous that I just thought of as you were talking about the T-shirt was that one winter, maybe 7 years ago or so, we tried to sell Christmas trees. So it was even during a time we were running Elastic Sales. And one of our teammates in November was like, you know what? What would be really cool is to have like a really nice website that's really modern where people in the Bay Area can order a Christmas tree. And if you, I don't even remember, hit some kind of unique angle. And we started just laughing about the ridiculousness of trying to sell Christmas trees. But then when we searched for all the places, like all the websites were like super outdated from 1992 or something. And he was like, yeah, we could get this upvoted on Hacker News and make it sort of funny. And maybe it'll have like some startup theme names for all the different trees. And like the whole idea spun out of control. And he actually, together with me, I did a little bit of the copy. And he put together the website. We posted it on Hacker News. I think we sold 13 or 14 Christmas trees.
Cool.
And you know, I don't even know how we got the Christmas trees to those people, but that was it. I think the goal that we had set was to sell like 100 or 200 of these trees, and it didn't quite work out as successful as that. But it was just a weird, funny thing to do, and definitely one of the weirder projects that I ever worked on.
That's really cool. We before we built Crazy Egg, and then eventually Kissmetrics, we built some a product called mystackcounter.com. And it was just a stack counter for a website. And it was very similar to what a product that still exists today called stackcounter.com. I think stackcounter.com existed, so mystackcounter.com didn't need to exist. That was the basic reason why it didn't work.
All right. So next thing that didn't work out, this was a bigger project, but something that almost nobody that knows me, like only my inner circle friends know that this ever existed. But there was a project that I was working on at the same time that I started working on this charity thing that ultimately ended up becoming Elastic Sales and then Close, that was called Viva TV. And it was basically QVC for the web, right? So what we did, this was during the heyday of Groupon. And I was looking at like kind of all these Groupon clones making a shit ton of money, and I came up with this idea of saying, you know what, like this online shopping, like a live show that shows products could work really well with this concept of having something heavily discounted for a very short period of time, and if we stream something online, we would have a lot more analytics than they have on TV, right? The reason why shopping TV is such a big thing is that they know how many calls they get, they know how many people tune in. So based on that, they have dynamic programming. They might show a certain product for much longer than they had originally intended because it's much more popular. So they can just adjust their programming based on data. And I was like, well, online, you have a shit ton more data than what they can have just by pure calls. So this could be a really big thing. So for, I don't know, a period of 3 or 4 months, we actually, I would source products by just cold call, like just doing online research and calling different vendors and different brands and negotiating deals with them. We found a studio in LA that we could rent by the hour. We found a host, and she was actually pretty amazing in LA, you know, by putting a Craigslist post up and people had to go and record a YouTube video or something like that of them presenting some random product that we came up with for like 5 minutes or something. And then we picked a few of them, interviewed them, and picked a host. And what we would do is we would, well, I would, once I had enough products that I could present in the show, drive to LA from San Francisco with a friend of mine, rent that studio, get that host lady to come. We would set up a big monitor and I would use Skype to produce her basically during the live show. We would start live streaming. We had a website where you could like live stream video. People could live chat and the product would update, like a product purchase box would update on the right. And we would purchase the audience live and in real time over Facebook ads. So we would run Facebook ads while the show was going on. People would click and they would land on the live stream of the show. And the crazy thing is that the main audience was female, and the most of the product, our best-selling product was a belt, like a really cool kind of hippie belt that Julia Roberts was wearing in Eat, Pray, Love, and that was a month before the movie came out. It was a really expensive $100 belt, and I think we sold 10,000 worth of those belts.
Cool.
But ultimately, because we couldn't program the show regularly, right? So it was sometimes it would take a week, sometimes take 3 weeks. And because we had to purchase the audience live and get them live randomly whenever we were doing the show, it was kind of a break even. We lost a little bit of money on it, but we could never really build momentum. And it was a lot of fucking work in this small operation of me being San Francisco, calling vendors all day long, trying to get the programming together, and then just driving up for a weekend and shooting the show in the middle of the week in LA and then driving back. So trying to bootstrap that thing was just a lot of work, although it was very fun at the end of the day. And ultimately, another idea was taking off that I was working on, so I just abandoned that. But when I tell people that I was running an online shopping show for women for a period of 3 or 4 months, they're usually surprised.
That is a pretty good one. I'm going to talk about an embarrassing one. So we had a podcast advertising network we tried to start on the side when we were running a consulting business back in the day. It was called Fruitcast. And the idea was that, we would partner with podcasters, and I think it was like 2007, 2006, 2008, something around that range. So it is not where podcasting is today, 10 years later, basically. And we tried to build a podcast advertising network. We even launched it on TechCrunch, and Michael Arrington said that we were charging more than radio. Okay. And we didn't know that.
Of course.
So that's why it failed.
Oh, man. I never heard that one. So that's awesome.
Yeah.
All right. What's another? Oh, here's another good one that nobody knows. And this is like, I don't know, this is maybe 15 years ago. We had started in Germany. We started a online hypnosis paid phone hotline.
Cool. Right?
So it was called Teletrance. And the idea was that every day you could call this number and you could listen to like a 3-4 minute like little meditative hypnosis trance session that was like live recorded that morning to like relax, to refresh, to whatever. Like every day would be a different theme. And you would have to pay, I don't know what it was, like let's say, you know, $2-3 all in to like listen to that live hypnosis show. We spent a lot of time coming up with a name and brand. We had a really cool website. We spent a lot of time back then. This is 15 years ago in Germany to even figure out how to have a paid phone line and where to rent it and what kind of contracts we had to negotiate. Then we spent a good amount of time for me to record a bunch of these. Like I was composing the music for the background, recording the hypnosis sessions. The one thing we never ask ourselves is how to get customers for this, right? How are we going to advertise this to anybody? That was a question that was not entertained at all. And that was ultimately one of many reasons why that idea failed pretty quickly.
Wow. That's funny. Let's see, failure. Let me see if I have another one. A lot of failures we just didn't pursue enough. So yeah. I had one called Surf, S-E-R-P-H, and we built a kind of Technoratty. Technoratty let you type in a keyword and you would see all the blog posts.
Jesus, Technoratty. I totally forgot. Yes.
And that was before Google really was picking up blogs for whatever reason in a big way. And so Technoratty used to exist. So we built something similar, except we let you search Flickr and a lot of other services. And the way we did that is just by using RSS, which was real simple syndication, but like it, or really simple syndication or something like that. But like it doesn't, RSS doesn't exist much anymore. Cause Google had a big RSS reader and they turned it off. But anyway, a lot of the services would provide RSS feeds for every search. And so we could just pull in and show like the top 10 or 20 or 30 results. And so we had listings and you had a key, a box, typed in a keyword and you'd get these listings. They were kind of combined and it was very crude, but it worked and it was nice and, you know, looked pretty. And, you know, it probably could have been a thing. I think we might have launched that as well and had it on TechCrunch or something. It could have been a thing, but we just never doubled down on it and spend more energy and effort on it beyond like the kind of, if you want to call it that, an MVP. Or did any research or try to understand why people like it, why they don't. But some people were using it. It was kind of neat. I think that was just a failure of like, I can't tell you why it failed because we just stopped working on it.
Mm. I mean, I feel like we could do this, you know, we could do this for a very long time. I feel like as we go along, I remember all these weird things that I tried or didn't try or thought about or worked on for a little bit. But well, let's wrap this up in the spirit of like keeping it short.
Yeah.
You know, we want to hear your failures. We want to hear your weird side projects you worked on, the things that you tried that didn't work. I feel like overall we're sharing too little of that, and we're just like too much editing. What we share with the world is just like the things that really, really work well. So we always love to hear from you. You can always get in touch.